deep in the heart of flyover country, this is Spin Sold Separately.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Sold Separately. I am JD, and happy NFL playoff season to all of you who celebrate. I just decided at the last minute here to throw together a NFL playoff prediction episode for you. I tried to get a friend of mine in on this who knows twice as much about football as I do, but alas, it did not work out. That's what happens when you spring something on someone at the very last possible minute. No hard feelings, buddy. We are not going to waste any time here. Games start in less than 2 hours by my clock here, so we are going to get right into it here. We're going to have some fun today. Yesterday was way too heavy. There'll be too much heavy stuff going forward, but today we're just going to have some good old-fashioned football fun. It's playoff season. It is one of the most enjoyable sports times of the year, if you ask me. Let's dive right in.
Winning.
First game today. At 3:30 this afternoon, we've got the LA Chargers at the Houston Texans. Chargers are favored by 3 in this game on the road at the division champ Texans. How about the Chargers this year? Did you realize that Justin Herbert threw 3 interceptions all year? 3.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
For a starting quarterback over the course of an entire season, he had a 101.7 rating. What a renaissance this year under new head coach Jim Harbaugh. You can think what you want about Jim Harbaugh. You can't argue with results. All the guy does is win. Took a team from last year that went 5-12 and was picking in the top 5 of the draft this year. All he does is win. Turned him around to an 11-6 operation. Brought in a run first, protect the ball kind of mentality. This team was tied for third best in the NFL at plus 12 in the take give. You know, there weren't a whole lot of personnel additions. He did bring in the running back duo of J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards from Baltimore. For all that, they lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams, their top two receivers, and replaced them with Quentin Johnson, who had an awful first year in the NFL, and Josh Palmer, a career backup. But they did discover Ladd McConkey. 1,149 receiving yards, good for 10th best in the NFL. What a great season for him. Jim Harbaugh has this team figured out. He's got them doing the right thing. Justin Herbert, his stats were a little bit down this year compared to the gunslinger years of his early career. But again, you can't argue with 3 interceptions over an entire season. Harbaugh has preached protect the ball, run the ball, take the ball, sack the opposing quarterback, and he's got the Chargers as a 3-point favorite on the road in the wild card round here at Houston. Houston, to their part, kind of quiet through this year, 10-7, much the same as last year. They've won the division for the second straight year under CJ Stroud. Top 5 defense overall for the Texans. They just kind of keep things under control. The sad part for Houston is they're a little banged up, a la the Detroit Lions defense last week against the Vikings. Houston's a little banged up. No Stephon Diggs, no Tank Dell. CJ Stroud is getting the crap beat out of him this year with a subpar offensive line that's also a little dinged up. They've got a couple excellent pass rushers on defense. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, 23 sacks between the two of them. CJ Stroud took a step back across the board this year. Fewer yards, fewer touchdowns, more interceptions, a 20-12 touchdown interception ratio, which is not great. His rating fell from 100.8 in his amazing rookie season last year to 87 this year. Nico Collins, their one remaining star wide receiver that is healthy, is amazing. Over 1,000 yards in just 12 games. You know, he was another part of their passing game injury, missing 5 games, but he's back, he's healthy. This team is a sub-500 operation since week 8. 4 wins since Halloween. Jim Harbaugh is elite. Justin Herbert is playing the best and most under control he ever has. I feel like Houston's just too banged up offensively across the board. I think LA wins and covers the 3 points. Then tonight, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, 10-7, at the 12-5 Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore favored by 9.5 in this game. To be honest, I'm not even sure if that's enough. Pittsburgh, to their credit, I mean, Mike Tomlin, what an all-time great head coach. And Pittsburgh, be careful what you wish for. I'm hearing all kinds of whispers that, you know, some of this fan base is getting a little restless because, you know, Tomlin has 6 first-round playoff exits to his credit and 5 consecutive losses in the playoffs, giving up an astounding almost 40 points per game over those 5 losses. That's not great, okay? I grant you that. That ain't great. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. Not a single one. Be careful what you wish for, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. You don't know how good you've got it. So Pittsburgh, kind of an uneven season, but they're plus 16 in the take-give turnover ratio. That is second best. They have lost 4 straight going into the playoffs. Their quarterback situation was weird from the outset this year. They signed Justin Fields, then they signed Russell Wilson. Fields started early. Russell Wilson started in week 7, and he was good. He was decent. For, you know, it took him a game or two to warm up, but then he went through a pretty nice stretch. He hasn't topped 220 passing yards since week 13. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher since week 8. They haven't had a 100-yard receiver since week 7. It just doesn't seem like this team has a real identity. Najee Harris did top 1,000 yards rushing for the 4th straight year. He did post a career low, only 6 touchdowns this year. Their number one wide receiver is George Pickens, and he is an unbelievably talented player, but he is a model of inconsistency. He missed 3 games this year, kind of banged up on and off. He only had 3 touchdowns, only 900 yards this year. And he capped that with a week 18 performance of 1 catch, 0 yards, and 3 drops. Now, granted, that was coming off injury, probably a little rusty. Like I say, going into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak, but yet here they are. Tomlin's got to shake some of these recent playoff woes, and it's going to be a big task. It's going to be a big ask against this Baltimore team on the road. Where do I even start? Number one, offense. You don't think high-powered offense when you think Baltimore Ravens. You think strong defense. You think the old days of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and, you know, Joe Flacco just kind of managing the game and doing enough for the defense to hang on and just dominate every team they come up against. This version of the Baltimore Ravens, while their defense is also very good, number one offense in the NFL, 425 yards a game. Number one rushing offense. They even had the number 7 passing offense, which you don't, again, you don't think of when you think of Baltimore football. They also had a top 10 defense. Number one defense against the run, 31st against the pass. Not so great. I guess you can't be perfect at everything, but overall, still a top 10 defense. This is an incredibly well-rounded, very well-coached team. This is another Harbaugh. This is John Harbaugh, the brother of Jim. This team, they won the division last year. They won it again this year. And Lamar Jackson, a 2-time MVP, he should win it again this year. This was the best statistical season of Lamar Jackson's career. 41 passing touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. I was just talking about the 3 that Justin Herbert had. How about only 4 for Lamar Jackson this year? 4,172 passing yards, a career high, 915 rushing yards, his most since 2020. He only took 23 sacks. That's the fewest he's taken since 2019, and he played in all 17 games. They've won 4 straight coming out of a week 14 by all by 3 or more scores. Derrick Henry, I've gone this long talking about Baltimore. I just got to Derrick Henry. 1,921 rushing yards. He averaged 5.9 yards per carry. Are you kidding me? The man is, he's either pushing 30 or is 30. He just had the best season of his career. His success feeding off Lamar Jackson's and vice versa. What an amazing combination. They don't have Zay Flowers, their number one wide receiver. That hurts. What a nice resurrection to Mark Andrews' career this year, though. Longtime great tight end. Looked like he was kind of tailing off towards the end of his career. Well, how about a career-high 11 touchdown catches this year? The passing game is going to take a step back without Zay Flowers. He's an electric player, but like I said, Lamar should win his 3rd MVP. I'm not sure if he's going to. It might go to Josh Allen, who had a great year, but I mean, the MVP should go to Lamar Jackson. I think Baltimore wins this game handily. 9.5 points is a lot in the NFL playoffs. I think Baltimore wins, and honestly, I think they cover that 9.5 comfortably. But don't take it out on Mike Tomlin. Dude is an unbelievably amazing football coach, an even better human being, and that man should coach in Pittsburgh for as long as he damn well pleases. Noon game tomorrow is the 10-7 Denver Broncos at the 13-4 Buffalo Bills. I've said before, I have to give credit where credit is due. I despise Sean Payton. The man wins football games. He's obviously a great football coach. He is back in the playoffs again. A top 10 defense in Denver is largely to thank for that, third overall against the run. It is easy to forget this Denver team. Now, Sean Payton started coaching this team last year. It's easy to forget this team gave up 70 points in week 3 of 2023. To cap an 0-3 start to the Sean Payton tenure in Denver. Well, all they've done since then is they finished last year 8-6, 8-9 overall, but finished 8-6, 10-7 this year, winning 5 of its last 7 to sneak into the playoffs here. All of this with a rookie quarterback this year. Bo Nix, 29 touchdowns, 93.3 quarterback rating. What a find. And Sean Payton was excited to get him right after the draft. He talked about how that was the guy he wanted. Well, can't argue with the results. 3,775 passing yards, and add in another 430 rushing yards for Bo Nix. 4 touchdowns on the ground. They spread the ball around to a plethora of running backs, none of whom stand out, but they're all solid. They all contribute. It's kind of a bruising, plodding running game that complements the skills of Bo Nix very, very well, keeps defenses honest, and opens things up down the field. Cortland Sutton, 1,081 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. Those are both good for second best of his career. And again, that was with a rookie quarterback. They were 4-5 on the road this year. And they're at a Buffalo team that does nothing if not dominate the turnover battle. They were plus 24 in the take give this year, number one in the league by a mile. Fewest turnovers as well, only 8. And they had the second most takeaways. Buffalo, despite losing their top 2 receivers from last year, including Stephon Diggs, still put out a top 10 offense. 9th in passing, 9th in rushing. Extremely well balanced. Josh Allen, who is the favorite to win MVP this year, not saying he's not worthy. I just think, personally, Lamar Jackson had the year that is going to be hard for anyone to ever match. But Josh Allen this year, 3,731 passing yards. That is his fewest since 2019. Not very surprising when you take away his top 2 wide receivers. 28 touchdowns, also his fewest since 2019. But he just does what it takes to win games. His overall stat line doesn't match what he's done in years past. The man just knows how to win football games. James Cook, running back, over 1,000 yards rushing, 4.9 yards per carry, 16 touchdowns. And Josh Allen himself added another 12 rushing touchdowns. So there's 28 touchdowns on the ground right there. They won 7 straight games from week 6 to week 13, and they won 10 out of 11 before sitting their starters in week 18. They are undefeated at home. They're an unspectacular team that just finds way to win games. They're playoff tested. They're at home. They're facing a rookie quarterback. I don't think Buffalo has enough to run away from Denver in this game, but I think Buffalo wins. I think Denver covers the 8.5 that Buffalo is favored by, but I think Buffalo wins. Afternoon game tomorrow, the 11-6 Green Bay Packers at the 14-3 Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia being one of 2 14-win teams that are having to play on Wild Card Weekend with these new NFL playoff rules. Eagles favored by 4.5. Green Bay, a very, very solid all-around team. 6th-ranked defense in the NFL. Jordan Love, their quarterback, comes into this game with a bit of an elbow injury that they're kind of not talking about a whole lot. He's got a little bit of lack of feeling in that arm, and you saw him kind of working on it last week. You saw the injury last week. You saw him try to work it out. You know, it. Who knows? I don't really know what to expect out of him. Green Bay does have a 5th-ranked rushing offense that they can lean on, led by the free agent signing of Josh Jacobs that they signed last offseason to replace Aaron Jones, who was a very popular player and very successful player in Green Bay. But Josh Jacobs changed the dynamic of this team. He made them tougher. They're more of a grinding, smash-mouth offense than they have been in many, many years. Jacobs this year, 1,329 rushing yards, 15 touchdowns, a career high in touchdowns. And he added in another 43 receptions, 342 yards, and a receiving touchdown. Now, he did fumble four times this year. That is the most in his career, so that's something to keep an eye on in this game. A Philadelphia defense that was number one by far in the NFL. Green Bay did win 7 of 8 from Week 5 to Week 13 to get themselves comfortably in the playoff mix. They did lose their last two games heading into the playoffs to division rivals Minnesota and Chicago. Jordan Love was good, not great, this year. 3,400 yards, 25 touchdowns. He missed a couple of games, 96.7 rating. The league and pundits around it seem to want to put him in the elite category. I don't think he's there yet. I think he's good, not great. He could be great. He has definitely shown flashes. I don't think he's there yet. He does spread the ball around. Green Bay's top four wide receivers ranged from 39 to 55 receptions. Very, very, very balanced on offense. It doesn't matter who the ball goes to. They've got a solid tight end in Tucker Kraft. And again, Josh Jacobs was one of the elite running backs in the league this year. Philadelphia, on the other side, number one defense by far in the NFL, allowing only 278 yards per game. They were also number one against the pass. Jalen Hurts injury, he hasn't played in 3 weeks. He was in the concussion protocol. He will play in this game. You never know with concussions. There can easily be a reoccurrence. You know, there's going to be a little bit of rust factor coming off 3 weeks on the shelf. Philadelphia, as everyone knows by now, thrives on the tush push, the brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. Somehow they're the only team that can make it work, and they can only make it work with Jalen Hurts. It's basically unstoppable inside the 1 yard line or on fourth and shorts. Personally, I don't like it. I'd like to see the NFL do something about just getting a bunch of beef behind a ball carrier and just pushing them forward. I just don't feel like that's it's definitely within the rules of the game. I'm just not sure it's within the spirit of the game, but that's a discussion for another day. Number two rushing offense for Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley. What an amazing season. Sat out week 18 entirely, yet still finished with 2,005 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns. Philly is 12-1 since the bye. They only lost to Washington the week that Jalen Hurts got hurt. Hurts also, by the way, had 630 rushing yards and 14 touchdowns on the ground, hence tush push. They weren't all brotherly shoves, but a lot of them were. Little midseason turmoil with this team with A.J. Brown. Philadelphia was winning games, but they were passing very, very little, and Jalen Hurts throwing for only 2,900 yards this year is an indication of that. That's the fewest in his 4 years as a starter. Of course, he did miss two games. Brown still topped 1,000 yards with 7 touchdowns. Now, that was on 50 fewer targets than he got in 2023 and almost 400 fewer yards. So he was a little perturbed midseason that they weren't passing enough, but you know, it's hard to argue with when you just keep winning games. Between Brown and Devonta Smith, they are still a lock of a top 10 wide receiver duo. Philadelphia is... This fan base, so bizarre. Already getting bored with Nick Sirianni. Again, be careful what you wish for. Your team is winning 13 or 14 games every year. Deal with the success. You can't win the Super Bowl every year. These two teams played in week one. Very, very entertaining game. Won by the Eagles, 34-29. I feel like this game is going to be very, very similar. If Jalen Hurts is healthy, I think Philadelphia wins this game. I think they win it by a field goal. This is not one I would bet. Philly -4.5. I mean, this feels like a field goal game, but Philly at home, if Hurts is healthy, they might be able to push that to a 5 or 6 or 7 point win, but I think Philly wins this one by a field goal.
Oh, come on!
Sunday night game tomorrow, the 12-5. Yes, 12-5. Washington Commanders at the 10-7 Tampa Bay Bucks, who are favored by 3 at home. Talk about a team that came out of nowhere. Top 10 offense with a rookie quarterback. And the third best defense versus the pass. Now, they struggled against the run, did the Commanders. 30th in the league, only better than the Saints and the Panthers. So, definitely an opportunity for Tampa Bay to get something going on the ground there. This Washington team, they were 4-13 last year. They drafted second. That's how they got Jaden Daniels. What a job by first year in Washington, first year head coach Dan Quinn. What a tremendous job taking over for Ron Rivera, who's a great guy. Washington was a mess. The ownership was a disaster. All kinds of outside stuff kind of working on this franchise for the last few years. Not Ron Rivera's fault. He'll get another chance if he wants it. And your team should be happy to get him if they do. Washington won 5 straight games to close out the season to solidify this playoff spot. And 4 of their 5 losses were to playoff teams. This team beat a lot of quality teams this year and fought hard against a lot of the best teams in the league. Jaden Daniels, 3,500 yards passing, a 25-9 touchdown to interception ratio in his rookie season. 100.1 rating, absolutely unbelievable. And he led his team in rushing. 891 yards on the ground for Jaden Daniels, and another 6 touchdowns. Terry McLaurin thrived with the rookie quarterback. 1,096 yards, that was good for 15th in the league. 13 touchdowns, 2nd in the league, only behind Ja'Marr Chase, who was sitting home watching the playoffs this year with the rest of the Cincinnati Bengals. Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, almost 1,800 scrimmage yards between the two of them. Washington does a great job using these two to complement Jaden Daniels and his running ability and the passing game. Both Robinson and Eckler missed time with injuries this year, but they complement each other very, very well. And tight end Zach Ertz had his best season since 2019 with 650 yards and 7 touchdowns. Washington, incredibly fun to watch. Jaden Daniels did take 47 sacks this year, and combined with all of his rushing, he's going to have to cut that down, or an injury is inevitably going to catch up with him. Tampa Bay, another incredibly well-rounded team. Number 4 rushing offense, the number 1 rushing offense that didn't include a running quarterback. The top 3 were Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Washington, teams we've already talked about. Tampa Bay was number 4 in rushing. They also have the number 3 passing offense, number 3 offense overall. They are the only playoff team with a negative turnover ratio. They are -5 in the take give. That is 20th, tied for 20th in the NFL. So that is something to keep an eye on. Elite wide receiver Mike Evans topped 1,000 yards for the 11th straight year. Did it with like 20 seconds to go in week 18. Made a huge deal about it. They lost their other elite wide receiver, Curtis Godwin, early in the year. And it's too bad because he was on his way to one of the best seasons of his career. Evans was hurt for a while there too, and this team was 4-6 at one point after losing 4 straight games into their week 11 bye, missing Mike Evans and Curtis Godwin. They were just kind of drifting in the wind, not really knowing what to do without their two biggest playmakers. But they won 6 of 7 down the stretch. They came out of their bye, won 6 of 7. Baker Mayfield, man, what a story. He rewarded Tampa Bay's faith in him after they signed him to a big contract this past offseason. He rewarded them with the best season of his career by far. 4,500 yards, good for 3rd in the league. 41 touchdowns, good for 2nd. 71.4% completion percentage. That was 3rd in the league and also his career best. His yardage and touchdowns, both career bests by far. What an amazing year for Baker Mayfield. Good for him. Started off in a horrible situation in Cleveland. He spent a couple years as a backup. Signed the 1-year deal with Tampa last year and got them to the playoffs. Tampa invested in him and he rewarded their faith in him. Good, very cool story. Good for you, Baker Mayfield. Bucky Irving, running back, rookie running back, stole the starting job as a rookie from Rashad White, who did nothing wrong, but Bucky Irving is an electric player. Finished the year over 1,100 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns, 5.4 yards per carry, which is a huge number. Rashad White still kicked in over 600 rushing yards of his own and caught 6 touchdowns. Irving and White combined for 98 receptions. So even without Curtis Godwin and for a while without Mike Evans, Tampa Bay still found a way to pass the ball around and get positive yardage out of that passing game. And again, they had the number 3 passing offense, number 4 rushing offense. Tight end Cade Otton stepped up in the middle of the year when Evans and Godwin were out. I mean, there were games that they lost, but he contributed a ton in those games and can catch a touchdown here or there. This one's tough. They played each other week 1, a 37-20 win for Tampa in Jaden Daniels' first game. Daniels is going to have to be spectacular to win this game. And another rookie quarterback on the road, I think Baker gets this one. I 3 points feels right to me. This is another game I wouldn't bet. Tampa -3, this feels like a 27-24 Tampa kind of game. So this one will be a lot of fun to watch. Negative. And last but not least, the Monday night game. My 14-3 Minnesota Vikings, favored by 2.5 on the road at the LA Rams. a 10-7 operation. This game has been moved to Glendale, Arizona because of the wildfires in California, not the least of which reasons is they don't want to distract any emergency personnel from doing what really needs to be done in California right now, which is dealing with the fire, taking care of the fire victims, and, you know, this was the right move. It sucks. It sucks for the Rams to lose this home game, because moving it to Arizona is definitely going to increase the number of Viking fans that will be in the stands. And, I mean, that sucks for the Rams. I'd be, on a football level, I'd be irritated. But on a human level, I mean, and the Rams have already come out and said this was the right move. No argument here. This is the right thing to do. Good on them for doing that. It just, you know, on a football level, it sucks to lose this home game. But Minnesota, you know, the most recent memory of them we have notwithstanding. Number two defense versus the run, 28th against the pass. This is a common theme for this team. Very easy to pass on, but they have been very stout against the run this year. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been leading in a lot of these games. Teams that are trailing tend to throw a lot more than they run. They have the second most turnovers among playoff teams. They're still plus 12 in the turnover ratio, which is good for a tie for third, but they have the second most turnovers of any team in the playoffs. They were 7-10 last year. They were 13-4 the year before. They're kind of all over the place. They play in these endless one-score games. Their defense came up huge this year, turnover-wise, with 24 interceptions, which led the league by 5. They had the most takeaways in the league with 33, but these one-score games, I mean, 23-17, 31-29, 12-7, 30-27, 23-22, 27-24, 27-25. This could have easily been a 7 or 8 win operation. The over-under for them before the season started was 6.5. The story of their season was undoubtedly Sam Darnold, by far the best year of his career across the board, over 4,300 passing yards, fifth best in the league, 35 touchdowns, also fifth best, 102.5 rating, good for sixth best in the NFL. Free agent running back Aaron Jones had the best year of his career, over 1,100 rushing yards, a career high, 408 receiving yards, that was the second most of his career. It felt like he was banged up a lot, but he ended up playing in all 17 games. He was kind of in and out of some games, but he was able to contribute in all 17 games. And of course, the superstar of this team is Justin Jefferson, one of the best, if not the best, in the business. Over 1,500 receiving yards, and he tied his career high with 10 touchdowns. Jordan Addison, wide receiver on the other side of the field, added 875 yards and 9 more touchdowns. An absolute top 10 wide receiver tandem in the NFL. LA, kind of a strange team. They ranked their passing offense ranked 10th best in the league, and by every other team metric, they were absolutely middle of the pack. Now, they had some early season injuries to their superstar wide receivers, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, that really kind of set them back at the beginning of the year. But these two are healthy now. Kupp missed 5 games, Nacua missed 6. But when healthy, these two are easily a top 5 wide receiver tandem in the NFL. Kyren Williams, their running back, dynamic player. He stayed healthy all year, 1,300 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns, added in 34 receptions and another 2 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, a very average year by his standards. 3,700 yards, 3,762 to be exact. That's the fewest he's ever thrown for in a full season, and only 20 touchdowns, which tied his career low for a full season. That's not what you're looking at when you look at Matthew Stafford at this point in his career. He has the veteran savvy. He is a Super Bowl champion. He knows how to win games that matter. He knows what to do when it counts. He is the last guy I want to be facing in a 2-minute drill when his team needs a field goal or a touchdown to win a game. This team is healthy. They won 5 straight before sitting their starters in Week 18. And though their offense wasn't completely clicking down the stretch here, outside of a shootout win against the Buffalo Bills in Week 14, they won the games they had to win. They were on the outside looking in at the playoff picture for a long time, but then they won 5 straight to lock up their division in Week 17 and then were able to sit their starters Week 18. These teams played Week 8 on a Thursday night game, a 30-20 Rams win. It was not that close. The Vikings were, I mean, they're both on a short week, but the Vikings were on a short week coming off their first loss of the year, a tough loss at home to the Detroit Lions. Probably not a great turnaround to be playing 4 nights later coming off of that. But the Rams dominated that game. 30-20 does not, I don't think, does justice to how much the Rams dominated that game. And the Vikings got stomped in Week 18 with everything on the line. We all watched it happen last Sunday. Kevin O'Connell was a Sean McVay protege. The Rams have beaten the Vikings three straight. The Vikings seem to find a way to come up small in these games. I'm sorry, and I know part of that is my Viking pessimism. I'm trying to be objective here. The Rams are playoff tested with Matthew Stafford, I think, is the X factor in this game. If he has a solid Matthew Stafford kind of game, doesn't give the ball away, Minnesota's been thriving on turnovers. I think this is a game the Rams win by at least a touchdown.
You have got to be kidding.
So there you go. There's your game by game this weekend, and it wouldn't be any fun if I didn't put some real projections out there. So to wrap this up real quick, I'm going to throw out my entire NFL playoff bracket projection here. I'm hoping to do another one of these shows next weekend and get that friend here that I was hoping to have here this weekend, because that'd be a lot of fun to go back and forth and talk about this stuff with another long-standing football fan. Obviously, the byes this week, Kansas City in the AFC, Detroit in the NFC. This week, I've got wins for, in the AFC, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Bills. In the NFC, the Rams, the Bucks, and the Eagles. That would set up the Chargers at Kansas City next week, and Baltimore at Buffalo in the AFC. In the NFC, that would put the Rams at Detroit, and Tampa Bay at Philly. I have the Chargers beating the Chiefs. I have not been impressed with the Chiefs all year. I know they've got the Super Bowl pedigree. They can't win them all. And I think this is the year. I think Jim Harbaugh gets the best of a Kansas City team that has just been kind of... They haven't been impressive. To their credit, they won 15 of the 16 games they tried to win. They got blown out in Week 18 in a game that they didn't play anybody. I have a feeling about the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh just gets this stuff done. I also have Baltimore upsetting Buffalo, which would set up a mini Harbaugh Bowl, because it wouldn't be the Super Bowl, but it'd be the AFC Championship game between the Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers and the John Harbaugh-led Ravens. I have Detroit beating the Rams, and I have Philly beating Tampa, so I basically got chalk all the way through the NFC playoffs, as I have Detroit beating Philly, and I've got Baltimore beating the Chargers in the AFC Championship game, which would set up a Super Bowl between the third seed Baltimore Ravens and the number one seed Detroit Lions. And in that game, I think the balance of Baltimore and the injuries, the unfortunate injuries to the Detroit defensive unit, I think they finally catch up with them. I've got Baltimore winning the Super Bowl over Detroit. All of this is probably going to end up being wrong, but I thought it'd be fun to go through that real quick. So we're going to wrap this up here. We all got football to watch in just over an hour. I hope you have all kinds of time this weekend to take these games in. NFL playoff games are so much fun. Next week is actually my favorite round. You know, the wild card round is great, but I really love that divisional round. And then those two conference championship games are absolutely awesome. So let's have some fun. Let's watch some football. And I hope you all are able to take some of it in. Thank you for joining me for this special NFL playoff episode of Spin Sold Separately. I am JD. Don't be a jerk. Skol Vikes, even though I picked against them. And I'll talk to you next time.